Heavenly Father, we thank you that your law is perfect and it revives the soul. We thank you that your statutes are trustworthy and make us wise. We thank you that your precepts are right and give us joy, that your commands are radiant and give light to the eyes. So please teach us what you want us to learn. Help us to build solid foundations, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everyone knows that to have a strong, safe building, you need good foundations. And before we bought our house in Blackburn, we had someone inspect it, and they told us that the floor in the front half of the house wasn't level. It had a slope, which was interesting if you wanted to play indoor bowls down the corridor, but not so good otherwise. Now, it wasn't quite as bad as this. Not as bad as the Leaning Tower of Pisa or this house, but we still had to get the whole front of the house re-stumped. And we knew that if the house's foundations weren't level, we would end up with all sorts of structural problems. And being a Christian is somewhat similar to this. We need a solid foundation in Christ to remain strong throughout our throughout our entire lives, because this is one of the essentials for life. And Jesus himself, interestingly, uses a building image to explain this. He says it in Luke 6. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll show you what they're like. They're like someone building a house who's dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. Now, that's what it's like, Jesus says, when you're listening to God's word and obeying it. You're laying a strong foundation for life. Otherwise, he says, it's like building your house on sand. And Jesus says about that house, the moment the torrent struck that house built on sand, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So in order to grow and mature as a Christian, we need to have a rock-solid foundation in Christ. And using his image again, using Jesus' image, you could say there are constant floods and torrents, storms hitting your house every day, every week. There are challenges to your faith. There are regular temptations to compromise. There are attacks on your faith from within the church and outside the church. Your lives are always changing. Many of you are under enormous pressure. We do not know what tomorrow will hold. So we all need a strong foundation in Christ. Now, last week we looked at one essential for life, which is that we need each other. We need relationships. We need family. We need community. And we talked about being connected here at church. Today we're looking at the second essential for life. This is a series called Essentials for Life, 5 weeks. Today's the second week. And today we're looking at the need for a strong foundation, a solid foundation in Christ, where we build our lives on Christ's truth and his wisdom. Now, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. That's in Colossians 2. Notice both the agricultural and building images. Like a plant, if you think of yourself, like a plant, what's the soil your life is growing in? Paul says it has to be rooted in Christ. And like a building, you need to be built up in him. The question I hope you're asking yourself is, yes, so far so good, but how? How do we do this? How do we ensure we have strong roots and a strong foundation in Christ? How do we make sure our house, our life, is built on rock and not on sand? Where do we find truth and wisdom that will really help? And the answer is very simple. You must listen to what God says in the Bible. Of all the competing expert voices out there, only the Bible comes from God himself. Only the Bible can train us and equip us for this life that involves so much challenge, so much complexity, so much turmoil. It's only the Bible that can give us that rock-solid foundation. Paul explains it in his second letter to Timothy. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for a whole lot of things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, the Bible is not just a human book. It's not just a made-up book. It's God's book. It's divinely inspired. It's as if God has breathed out and people have then written down the words of God. It's different to every other book in the library, every other book that you will read. It's different to every other book in your home. It's a book we read with our hearts open, waiting to hear, what is God saying to us? What does God want us to learn? And it's a Bible that does things to us. Notice the verb, what it's useful for. It teaches us truth about yourself. It's like a mirror to hold up to yourself. It teaches us truth about the world and about God. It corrects us and rebukes us when we go wrong. It shows us what's right and then equips us for doing good in the world. So it helps helps us find the path of what's right, what's wise, what's unwise. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly need that sort of help and that sort of guidance. I know I'm not that smart and I can't work out everything myself. So instead of going to the newspapers or the internet for all your advice, try going to the Bible, seeing what God says about life and which way you should go. Now, let's think about a number of ways we could establish this strong foundation that I'm talking about, and I'm going to have four of these. First of all, we can establish a strong foundation by listening to the Bible, and I literally mean listening, using your ears. Jesus says, in order to build your house on rock, the first thing you have to do is hear his word. And there are many ways to hear the Bible. You can hear it read in church. We've just heard it read this morning. You can hear it quoted in sermons like I've just done and in other teaching. I typed audio Bible. That's all I did. Typed audio Bible into the search engine for a nearby Christian bookshop, and it came up with over 1,000 items. So there are so many ways of just hearing the Bible. You may know the actor David Suchet. He's famous for playing Agatha Christie's detective Hercule Poirot. Now, Suchet wasn't a Christian in his younger life and became a Christian when he turned 40 by reading Romans 8 when he was in his hotel. And one of the best ways to hear the Bible is to listen to someone like David Suchet reading it. And they made a recording of this, and it was only released a couple of years ago, and it's been recorded in such a way that you can listen to the entire Bible in 1 year. No hands needed, but just, do you have any spare time that is wasted on trains, at airports, in waiting rooms? Are you wasting time in any other part of your day? Here's something you could do just to listen to the Bible occasionally and make better use of those times, driving in your car, for example. I called local radio Christian radio station 89.9 Light FM during the week. And you may not know, but they're now reaching 1 million listeners a month, mostly non-Christians and including Muslims here in Melbourne. And every day Light FM broadcasts little snippets of the Bible. I heard one this morning as I was driving to church. They do that to encourage people. And each Sunday morning, they will then broadcast a sermon. The lady I spoke to at Light FM told me that every Monday, they're getting inquiries from people asking about the sermons and asking about God and what's the next step they could take. Often in their fundraising telethons, when they get people to ring in and say what Light FM means to them, they're very encouraged to hear how those bits of the Bible really make a difference in people's lives. We set a strong foundation when we hear the Bible. Now, that's a good start, but the research tells us that we often forget what we hear. So another way to establish a strong foundation is by reading the Bible. I was talking to a young man after our evening service here at church about a month ago, and he isn't a Christian. He's come from interstate down to Melbourne, and he'd made some new friends. A little bit by little bit, he discovered that they were all Christians. And he realised he liked them, but he didn't understand them. So he decided, well, I'll do two things. I'll start reading the Bible and I'll go to church. And so that's why he was at St. Alfred's that night. But he discovered that the Bible was much more difficult to understand than he realised. So he and I talked about how the Bible worked and how to read it. You don't necessarily read it like other books. And I encouraged him then, if he wanted to pursue this idea of trying to understand his friends a bit better, maybe he needed to learn a little bit about Jesus. And so why not start with one of the Gospels? So you see, I didn't want him just to listen to me. I wanted him to read the very words of Jesus himself, the very words of God, because the Bible is powerful. And David Suchet is not the only person to be converted by reading the Bible. St. Augustine, back in the early church, was converted by reading the Bible as well. For him, it was Romans 13. And many others in those centuries in between have been converted simply by reading Scripture. The Bible has power because it's inspired by God. And the writer to the Hebrews describes this power like this. He says, "The Word of God is alive and it's active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit." Think how difficult that is. The Bible gets inside people. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Bible is powerful. It's active. It has the power to get inside people and change them in a way that other books don't, and your words don't, my words don't. So the Bible in some ways is like a weapon. It's a weapon you can use for yourself, and it's a weapon to use with other people when we're talking to them about Jesus, quoting Scripture. And it's God's truth. So if you don't read it and you don't learn from it, it's as if you go into battle every day unarmed, and you are completely vulnerable and open to whatever happens because you haven't read Scripture. Now, why do we read the Bible publicly in church and then preach on it? It's because we want to help you grow as Christians. We want to equip you for life. We want to help you deepen your faith. We want to establish that foundation in our church's life and in your individual lives. We want everyone to learn from God's truth, not just from whatever the best idea the preacher can come up with on that given Sunday. So if you read your Bible in church while I'm preaching, you can check out whether what I'm saying is true or not. We also preach from many different parts of the Bible because we know some parts are harder to understand than others. And by doing this, we hope to give you confidence that you can read all the different parts of the Bible and that you can understand them and maybe explain it to somebody else. So please don't let your Bible get dusty on your shelf. Take it and read it. That's when it has the power in your life. If you've fallen out of the habit, try starting up again this week. Some people like reading a bit of the Bible every day, and we call that maybe a quiet time. Others go for the Bible binge method, where they'll sit down and they'll just read the whole of Romans or the whole of Joshua in one sitting. It's surprising how much Bible you can read, actually, if you give yourself an hour. But some people can only find that 5 minutes, so that's okay. You do it however you want to do it, but please read it. And if you find it hard, there are many devotional guides that can help you. Or if nothing else works for you, you might just simply want to look ahead. You can look on the back of Contact each week, see what's being preached on next Sunday, and just simply read that passage a number of times in the week leading up to that Sunday. And then you'll come a little bit more primed and ready to listen to the preacher explain it. When you're reading God's word, it's as if you're giving the Holy Spirit fuel to fire you up. You're putting logs on the fire, spiritually speaking. You're pouring God's truth into your mind and heart, and the Holy Spirit then can use that to direct your life and deepen your faith. Remember that picture of the lighthouse on the rock? That's a bit like light, like life. You know, you go through this coming week, there'll be things that come at you, there'll be struggles, there'll be things you're thinking about, And so if you fill your mind with God's truth by reading Scripture, it's something the Holy Spirit can then use to direct your path. So you'll be establishing a strong foundation for your life if you're hearing the Bible and reading the Bible, but also then if you go one step further and you study the Bible. We're told at the end of Acts 2 that the early church devoted itself to the apostles' teaching. And then later in Acts 17, we get this little window on one group of new Christians. They're in a place called Berea. And we're told that the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. So the early church studied the scriptures. They were devoted to the scriptures. They examined the scriptures. They discussed the scriptures with one another. They questioned whether what they were hearing was true or not. Now, I know many of you are used to Bible study, but it may be a new idea for some of you. And when I use the word study, you might think I'm suggesting you go off to Bible college and do a 3-year degree. Well, you'll be glad to know I'm not suggesting that, although some of you might want to do that. All I mean is that you read in more depth, you take notes, you ask questions, you record what you learn, and you keep all of those notes together for your future reference. And you can do this on your own, or you can do this with others in a smallish group. Our growth groups are a wonderful place to study the Bible with others. As Mike said earlier, we've had a great response to last week's sermon on getting connected, and many of the leaders got together for training during the week. There's a great sense of excitement about what's happening with our growth groups at the moment, and it's not too late to get into one. Please speak to Mike or Graham, or simply go to our website and click on the Get Involved link. Another way of studying the Bible is simply to take notes of sermons. Some of you I know have journals where you write your sermon notes, and that way you can look back on them and remind yourself what you heard and what you learnt. Also, the great thing about journals is, you know, a preacher might be preaching, or you're at a teaching session at a conference or somewhere else, and the preacher says something that stimulates your own thinking, your own reflection, and you can jot that down. That's stimulated something for you personally, and then once it's in your journal, you can refer back to it. Also, at a practical level, if you have a journal for keeping notes, you don't have to get your Bible stuffed full of loose bits of paper that fall out in the back of the car every time you go home on a Sunday. That's a very useful thing. And then if you get really serious about studying, you might like to start a file for each book of the Bible. I have a hard file and I have an electronic file. Then over the years, as you go to something, you just slot that piece of paper, that reflection, whatever it is, into that folder, or you read something on the internet about that bit of the Bible, you slot it into your file on Ephesians or Isaiah, whatever it is. And then that becomes a wonderful resource for your own spiritual life. And it's also a tremendous resource if you do any teaching. You know, if you're a growth group leader, you're a Bible study leader on a beach mission, you lead in our children's ministry or any of the ministries here or you're doing a devotion for a Christian organisation or something like that, and all of a sudden you get that awful feeling in the pit of your stomach, I don't know what to speak on. Well, you've got this great resource if you've kept all of those notes and you can go back and find something. Another great resource is to use what we call is a commentary. So a commentary is a book by a biblical scholar explaining a part of the Bible. And in such a book, you'll find an explanation of each chapter and each verse. So if you read something in the scriptures that you don't understand, you can then go to a commentary and you can look up that particular verse, or it may just be a word, and hopefully the scholar, the writer of that commentary, will explain it. You'll go, oh, okay, that helps, and then you move on. For example, the commentary we suggested for the series we were doing earlier this year in Mark's Gospel was King's Cross by Tim Keller. It's just what it looks like. It's just a little paperback. But if you ever need advice about commentaries, you can come and speak to myself or one of the other clergy. Or you can go to this website that I've made you aware of called bestcommentaries.com. On that website, they list a lot of commentaries on every book of the Bible. And they'll tell you down the right-hand side, you can't see it on the screen, but they'll tell you down the right-hand side whether the commentary is a technical one, that means academic, probably means you need to know a little bit of the original languages, Greek or Hebrew. Or it will tell you if they're a pastoral type of commentary that anybody could read, or a devotional type of commentary that might help you with your prayer life. And then you can read the reviews and see what you think. Most of the commentaries we suggest from within St. Alfred's are going to be paperbacks, easy to read. Many will have questions for discussion, and some will give you suggestions on how to apply the passage that you're reading. So why study the Bible? It's not just to gain more knowledge. We're not interested in Christians who just want to impress one another with their Bible knowledge. You know, can you name the 12 apostles? Can you name the 12 tribes of Israel? Etc., etc. That's of limited interest. The reason you study the Bible is to learn more from God and to deepen your relationship with God. You're studying to try and get to know God better, not for any other reason. You want to hear from God. And so we desperately need God's wisdom to help us. Modern Australian society is changing so rapidly that it's hard to know which way is up. What do you think of the big topics of the day? How do you reach your conclusions on what is true and right? How do you deal with your pain and your sorrow? How do you react if someone you love dies? What's the best way to raise your children and your grandchildren? Where do you find hope when you lose your job or get a bad diagnosis? We must study God's word to find out how to respond to those sorts of issues, mustn't we? Come to God's word with our questions, our doubts, and our problems. That's how we build a strong foundation. Otherwise, we get knocked around by everything that happens. So it's good to hear the Bible, read the Bible, and study the Bible. But what really develops a strong foundation, and this is my last heading, is when we obey the Bible. Jesus said it blesses us to do this. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And James tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. So don't come to church and listen to the preacher and say what a great sermon it was as you walk out and then forget it. And it means nothing, you know, if it doesn't transfer into anything in your life. James has a wonderful illustration for what it's like if you don't put the Bible into practice. It's an illustration about a mirror. Imagine it's morning. You get dressed, ready for the day. Go into the bathroom, you look at your lovely face, and you realise your hair is a mess. Then you go and you do nothing, and you go and have breakfast. By the time you've had breakfast, you've forgotten what your hair looks like, and you leave without combing it. This is what James says about that sort of person. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at themselves, go away and immediately forget what they look like. What a waste of time that was. So let's say you read the Bible in the morning. You have a quiet time. Let's say in the Bible passage you read, it says something very broad and general like, love your neighbour. And then you spend the rest of the day angry with your boss, annoyed with your spouse, upset with your actual neighbour. You're annoyed with the person who serves you at the coffee shop. What was the point of reading the Bible in the morning? You've got to put it into action. You've got to figure out a way of how to show love to that annoying neighbour, that barista, that boss, that spouse. That's when the blessing comes. Now, let me give you a further illustration of this, because I really want to underline this, put it in bold for you. You've got to obey the scripture. Let's say as a church, you get concerned about my health and you send the church wardens to me who say, Peter, we don't want you to get out of fitness. We don't want you running out of puff. We want you to stay fit and well, so we've bought you a present. We've bought you a book. And you give me Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. This book exists. And you tell me, or the wardens tell me, Peter, this book will change your life. It's fantastic. It has changed the lives of millions of people. It will keep you strong and it will be a great blessing to you. And I say, thank you so much. That is fantastic. And I go away for 6 months and I come back having read the book and I'm the same guy. Everything is in the same proportions as it was 6 months earlier. I haven't changed one iota. And the wardens say to me, Peter, what happened? Didn't you read the book? I said, sure, I read the book. I loved it. I underlined bits of it. I even memorised bits of it. I even joined a group to study it. Such a welcoming group. They had great suppers. I got so into it, I bought a commentary on it. That helped me understand the cultural background of bodybuilding and the etymology of words like latissimus dorsi. But I didn't actually do any exercise. I didn't put it into practice. Well, what a waste of time. You get my point, don't you? To build a strong foundation in Christ, you have to obey his word. And when you do this, you'll become like that rock-solid person of Psalm 1. You'll be like... It's a great image, this. Listen to this. If this could be your life, what a wonderful image. You'll be like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season. Isn't that a lovely image for a life? A life lived rooted in Christ, rooted in God's word. How I want that for each of you. So when you obey God's word, you will grow in wisdom, grow in the fruits of the Spirit, and you'll become more certain of God's work and voice in your life. How do I build a strong foundation in Christ? I listen to God's word. I read God's word. I study God's word. And I obey God's word. Have fun doing all of those things.